Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Amen. Let's all pray together and just ask the Lord to help us with this. Father, we know that fear is a real issue right now in the middle of our world, and sometimes it starts taking over, starts consuming us, and I'm so grateful, Lord, that your love overcomes our fear, and I ask, God, that you will, by your Spirit, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you will reach into each of our homes and fill us with your love, cast out the fear that consumes us. And by all means, Father, would you please help us to get a glimpse of your glory and your majesty, because we definitely, all we seem to see right now is a microscopic virus. So Lord, help us to see you. Help us to glory in who you are and trust you and your goodness in the middle of this mess. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. I don't know about y'all, but I miss contact, and I'm an introvert. So as an introvert, I am missing contact. And so yesterday was awesome in that I got to go on a ride with two guys. Lauren Goot and Steve Wardle and I took a ride around Lakeway on our bikes. And I was just like, yes, it's almost as good as being in church. And I'm looking forward someday, soon, I pray, that I won't be talking to an empty auditorium and just a camera and four people. So I want to look today at some amazing stuff, because I'm telling you, this is an amazing time. It blows my mind what's happened just in the last 3 to 4 weeks. All of a sudden, the world has changed. There's no sports. And if you're watching, sometimes you feel like there's no stocks left, and obviously no socializing, and in my case, there's no sushi lunch down the road at one of my favorite places, which can be really terrible. And I guess if you're spending time at the grocery store, there's no toilet paper. And so I have a roll here for those that want to bid on it. It's here for you. We'll open the bidding online and see what happens, but you never know. But one thing I'm finding in this time is, and I know this to be certain in my life, is that stress reveals stuff deep in my heart. And maybe you all do too. I deal with stress probably like a lot of folks do, in that I get impatient, a little short, and I know that it's going to happen, and I feel it coming on, and I'm just like, oh no, I don't want this to be how it is. But sometimes, I don't know, there's just something about this this time that's destabilizing and just makes my mind race, and I just like, ay, and manga. And I feel a lot like King David when he wrote in Psalms 19. Psalm 19 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." I don't know about you guys, but I find that being something that I have to just think back to a lot. I spend a lot of time in the morning just trying to get my head straight and get my mind in the right space, because it's so easy just to look at every headline and go, ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I have to spend time just getting my head right and recognizing that where I meditate in my heart affects what I say to those that I love and those that are around me. And so I'm with David in Psalm 19 that I need to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. And guys, David was the guy that the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, and yet we know that he still struggled in crisis, and that guy experienced crisis. So if you haven't spent any time just studying the life of David, you will find that he experienced incredible, incredible crisis, just like we are experiencing here. But I'm going to tell you one thing's for certain. I know in all of this, and I've known maybe over the last 10 years or so, that when I'm feeling really stressed out and I'm feeling overwhelmed, that I just need a better view, a clearer picture of the majesty of God. And I have some things that I do that help me just to remember that. Sam Self could tell you that one of the things that I love is just to go outside at night and stare at the stars, because it reminds me of the majesty of God and who He is. And so we're going to take a look at some of that today. But I'm going to tell you right now, majesty is the only medicine powerful enough to support us when we're dealing with truly life-changing problems, even those problems caused by a microscopic virus. So I can hardly wait to see what God's going to do. I think God's doing stuff right now. He is going to do things that we don't yet see. And I believe that for years to come, we're going to be looking back going, oh, remember when God changed so-and-so's heart? Remember when God brought these people together? Remember when God took you out of your home and to your neighbor's house, and you were able to deliver cupcakes to people who are far from God? Just different things. Who knows? I mean, it's going to be an amazing time. I think that God is going to do incredible, awesome stuff. But so let's, we're going to dig into Psalms 19. Turns out it's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms. And as we were talking a little over a week ago about where to go this Sunday, at first it was like, okay, let's go to Acts 18 and continue. And so I tried to get my head around Acts 18. I've been meditating on Acts 18 for a couple of weeks, and I was like, I sat down, I spent a day just trying, and I just couldn't get my head going on it. And finally, you know, I told Marco, I said, dude, I've got to go to Psalm 19. Got to go there. And it took me about 30 minutes to get my head going in Psalm 19, and I'm excited about what's going to happen. So there's two really amazing ways to cope with a crisis in Psalms 19. And it's super simple. It's easy. It's look up and look in. Two simple, simple things. You know, sometimes you got to look up. I say this a lot when we're driving. Like sometimes we drive out to New Mexico to see the grandbabies and our daughter and son-in-law. And of course, I'm doing most of the driving, and it's amazing countryside. It's an incredible drive, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at that. Do you see that? And I look over, and Crystal's on her phone playing a game or doing Sudoku. Audrey's in the back asleep, and I'm like, you guys are missing everything. I was like, you got to look up and see what's going on out here. So sometimes we need to look up. We've got to go outside. We've got to look at the heavens. We've got to look at the clouds. We've got to check out the stars and see everything that the sun is revealing in our beautiful world that we live in, that God has placed us in. And sometimes we need to look in. We've got to look in to God's Word. God's Word is the only thing that will help keep your heart and your mind focused in the right way, especially when everything around you seems to be in crisis. So, got to look up, and we got to look in. So with that said, we're going to take a look at Psalms 19. So let's just read it together. Verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard.
Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a scent, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. So we got to look up at the glory of God revealed in nature. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Ladies and gentlemen, you were created to find your deepest joy and purpose in the glory of God. It's why you were here. It's why you're placed on this planet. You are here to reflect the glory of God, to find your joy in his glory and all that. When we have a big crisis, we need something large to support it. And there's nothing like a pat answer when you're in the middle of a big mess to just make you go, well, that was awesome. Thanks for nothing. And when we're in a big mess, we need a majestic and amazing foundation that we can lie on, stand on, sit on, rest on, and that's the glory of God. Everything else in the universe points to him. God created the heavens for his glory to proclaim his handiwork. I'll tell you, the only strength to cope in a crisis is found in a clear view of God's glory and his majesty. It's the only way that you're going to cope. So I say to y'all, let the heavens help you see the glory of God. Because the heavens, what are they saying? They're saying, I think they scream out. Sometimes they just kind of whisper out. Sometimes they just kind of just casually, it's just like, yeah, this is what we do. They are just saying to us that God is powerful. God is amazing. God is incredibly good. And God is completely and utterly worthy of your trust. So let's look at the sun first, because when I used to think about this scripture, you know, it says, okay, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day to day pours forth speech, night to night reveals knowledge. Well, I get the night to night part, because, you know, at night you can go out and you can see stars and you can have your mind just blown by looking out into the heavens and going, oh, this is incredible. And so I would study all of that stuff, and then I would be telling Crystal, you know, oh my soul, you know, this is like 100 million light years away, and da 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 da. And she just looks at me and goes, how can they even know that? And I'm like, I don't know how they know that. These people, they know stuff, and they have smart ways of figuring that stuff out. But it's amazing. So I get the night to night part. But the day-to-day part, you know, the day-to-day pours forth speech. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean? What are we talking about? And then it occurred to me one day that day-to-day, the sun is shining on our place and illuminating incredible creation. I mean, without the light of the sun, we don't have time to get into all of that. But let's just go with this. The light of the sun, and light allows me to see my neighbors. The light of the sun allows me to see this incredible tree. I was sitting in the lobby praying this week, and I looked out, and the tree was just starting to bud. And I was like, yes, Lord, you are just beginning to do amazing new spring things in our church, and I'm excited to see what happens. So the light of the sun allows us to see all around. It allows us to see the birds. The birds up in the tree, and they're just sitting up there chirping, and they're just completely carefree. One day I was coming home, and I hear this little bird just doing this doo-loop-a, doo-loop-a. And I'm looking, and I was like, where is it? It's just the tiniest little bird. And he's like, doo-loop-a. And then off in the distance, I hear doo-loo-loo-loo, you know, and then he's like, doo-loop-a. And it's just like, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. And I was like, those guys, they don't care about coronavirus. They're just up there just singing and talking to each other. And I was just like, this is so awesome. So the sun, this glorious raging ball of fire, gives us a daily reminder of God's glory. Day to day is pouring out speech. But how does the sun pour out this speech? It just makes everything visible from the mountains to the microbes, folks. Without the light, we see nothing of the majesty of God in creation, just on our tiny little planet. So, let's just talk quickly about the sun. You know, it's 93 million miles away. That's far. At the core, it's 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. And it's 100 times larger than the Earth. That's something you don't really think about. Because usually, you know, you're shading your eyes from this ball up there in the sky that's just like, oh, you know, get my sunglasses, get my visor. But it's incredible. So in order to just kind of help us to get a picture just of that, if the sun was the size of a basketball, okay, because you know, growing up, you know, you see the pictures in your science books of the, you know, the solar system. You know, they'll just kind of draw it out, and here's the sun here, and then here's some planets, pop, 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 pop. You know, unfortunately, a textbook cannot contain even the proper ratio or perspective on our solar system, let alone the universe. So if we're going to go in perspective, if the sun is a basketball, then the Earth would be not the size of a tennis ball, because that's kind of, you know, maybe how it would be shown in your textbooks. No, it wouldn't be that. The sun would be the size of a BB. I mean, the Earth would be the size of a BB, which you can't really see. But you can put roughly 1.3 million Earths inside the sun if it was a hollow globe. I mean, that alone should boggle your mind, because it boggles mine. Every day I think, you know, that sun 93 million miles away is large enough to contain 1.3 million Earths. That's enormous. And then I stop and I go, I think about the Son of God, that all that he does in my life, and it's even more enormous than this raging ball of fire that every day I hope will remind you that God loves you. When you go outside and you see the sunset, or you watch the sunrise, and you're just like, oh, it's so awesome. We were walking last night, and Crystal said, look at the pink sky. You know, it's just like this raging ball of fire interacting with our little planet, painting this incredible picture of the glory of God. Every day, day to day, pours forth speech. So every day you go out and you see the sun shining, and even when it's cloudy. You know, one of my favorite things in the world is to take off in an airplane on a cloudy day and then to come out above the clouds and go, yes, there's the sun, it's still shining. So even when it's cloudy, folks, you know that the sun is still shining and it's still doing what it does. And you can take that and turn that into an incredible metaphor for the love of God. I'm just going to tell you, it is awesome. So go out there, look at the birds of the air, look at the flowers of the field. Yesterday, Kat sent some pictures around of some flowers that she saw out on a run and was just like, this is so amazing. This is so beautiful. And then be reminded that Jesus said, guys, consider the lilies of the valley. Consider the birds of the air. Your heavenly Father feeds them and he clothes them. And Solomon in all of his glory wasn't clothed like one of those. So guys, this sun, this raging ball of fire, gives us so many opportunities to be reminded of the majesty and the glory of God. It's just beautiful. So also, you know, without light, the microscopic world is not visible. You know, and let me just pause for a second. When David wrote this psalm, he didn't have a telescope. He knew that there was a sun and there were some stars, and he knew that that was amazing and that was enough and that was majestic. And now, guys and gals, we have so much more. It's incredible, and we're going to see that in just a second. But the sun, the light, allows us to operate our, you know, with our microscopes and to be able to look and to see into this microscopic world, how amazing that is. You know, just pause for just a second to consider the discovery of DNA inside of ourselves, inside of our cells. Thank you for the microscopes that have allowed us to untangle some of that. But you take a single strand of DNA, and it's about as long as my reach, about 6 feet. One strand of DNA out of one cell in your body. If you took every strand of DNA out of every cell in your body, stuck them end to end, this is the part that's incredible, you would stretch it twice the diameter, basically, of our solar system. Just ponder that for a second and go, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There's no voice where there's no place where their voice is not heard. Unstinking believable is one of my favorite things to say. But then we go to the night after night part. And that's where I feel like poor David, because he didn't understand that we live in the Milky Way galaxy with 100 billion stars. He didn't know that if you were to travel 25,000 miles per hour, it would take you 156 days just to get to the sun. 25,000 miles per hour. He didn't understand that astronomers today, scientists of the day, estimate that there may be somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 trillion galaxies with billions of stars in each galaxy. That's incredible. I want you all to see a picture of some stars, actually of a galaxy, some galaxies. And this is hard to understand, but basically, if you could make a hole the size of basically, you know, your yellow number 2 pencil, okay, and go out at night and look through that hole, this is what you would see. This is what this picture represents. 1/32 millionth of the visible universe from our planet. Okay? So from our planet, 1/32 millionth of the universe is visible in this one hole. And inside that pencil view of the universe exists 5,000 galaxies. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will, but what blows my mind even more is the verse underneath this picture that says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all of its hosts. David had no idea how big that was. He didn't know that that statement he was making was so much more massive and so much more amazing than it is even to him way back then. So when we look at this universe and we consider that the starry hosts were spoken into existence by the word of God, and then we know that if we go to John chapter 1, we find real quickly that the word of God, which spoke the universe into existence, is the very Jesus who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, in John chapter 1. Just go check that part out for just a little bit and go, okay, wait a minute. The Word of God that spoke into existence this incredible universe is the one who came and took on flesh and became a substitutionary sacrifice for my sin. And all of a sudden, a microscopic virus becomes almost insignificant to me when I go, oh my soul, every day I have fellowship with the creator of the universe, and I know that he, by his grace, has given me incredible life, and I am blown away. And that is the kind of stuff that helps me to cope with crisis like what we're in. So David takes Psalms 19, and he goes from looking at the universe, from the raging ball of fire known as the star, which, by the way, you know, just quick aside, if you're going to do a little science experiment and say, hey, let's make a scale model of the universe using our basketball and our BB, to get the BB positioned correctly, you would need to be, you know, say on a basketball court under one goal and take your BB and put it under the other goal. and then you'll be roughly in the right location for that. And if you want to get Pluto in the right place, you're going to need to go outside of your basketball court and about a mile down the road to place Pluto. Okay, that's just using our basketball. But it gets even worse before we get into God's Word here. If you want to find the next closest star to us, Alpha Centauri, you're going to need to get your next basketball, hop on a plane, and fly to London and drop it in. That's just to get to the next closest star. So let that set in for a minute and go, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no place where his voice is not heard. It's incredible majesty. So David takes that and he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. In verse 7, reviving the soul. I don't know if you need revival or not. Sometimes I sure do. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then listen to verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold. Some of us have watched our gold disappear. Even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I've already said that the Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the living Word of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen our Creator. And you have a relationship with Him that's unmatched in this world, filled with hope, filled with peace. I mean, when the Creator of the universe, who spoke galaxies into existence, says, don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. When the Word of God tells you that, as he said, look, guys, I spoke your son, that 27 million degrees raging ball of fire, I spoke that into existence with my breath that came into existence. I can handle your virus. I'm like, thank you, Lord, that you can handle this virus. I'm excited about that. The Word is Jesus. And when we look at the Word of God, when we look in to God's Word, we see, I mean, in that Bible, in that book of the Word of God, that Bible, there's an ocean waiting to be explored. And the more you spend time in it, the more you will see more of the glory of who God is. Telling you, just as much as if you look into the space and see the galaxies, you take the pages of God's Word and begin to look and say, God, by your Spirit, will you speak life into my soul right now? Out of the pages of the Bible will jump encouragement and strength and power that you, you'll just be like, I don't know where that came from. And I'm just going to tell you, you're going to go, yeah, it came straight out of the heart of God. Just for me. So I don't know, guys. I don't think there's anything else in this time that can give us hope. There's nothing. I mean, look, it's amazing how quickly people's stock portfolios have shrunk in 3 weeks. Boom, just psh, boom, just like that. What's even, I think, almost more remarkable to me is how quickly a grocery store shelf has gotten emptied. My soul, you know, I don't fully understand why everybody wants toilet paper, but You know, that is amazing. My son-in-law sent a picture after he got a truck for his grocery store that he runs. He showed us a picture of the bean shelf. And there's like 10 cans of beans left just after they got a truck. I mean, they can't keep their shelves filled. Look how quickly grocery store shelves are emptied. And look how quickly a microscopic virus has shut down nations. Only a view of the majesty of God will give us strength and courage to face times like this. His love, His holiness, His justice, His mercy, His wrath, His grace, His peace, all of that. When you see the majesty of God is all gloriously wrapped in Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection, you will not find any other peace than you will find right there. The best peace in the world is found right there in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Guys and gals, majesty casts out fear. Because when you see the majesty of God and realize that that God loved you and gave you Jesus, all of a sudden fear doesn't stand a chance. Doesn't stand a chance. So, guys, God created this world to reflect His glory. You were created to reflect His glory. The problem is that all of us have sinned, and the sin enables, it disables, I guess, our ability to magnify and to glory in the majesty of God. And consequently, we needed Jesus to come and provide a remedy for that, so that we could be restored into relationship with Him and have our eyes open to the majesty and the wonder and the glory and the love of God. And I don't know where you are today, if you're sitting there in your living room and you're saying, you know, I'm not sure I've ever completely, fully surrendered my life to the glory of God. I have not repented of my sin and said, Jesus, I fall here at your knees in desperation, needing something solid that I can hold on to and say, Lord, I turn from my way and I turn to you because I recognize that you're the only one who can give me what I need. This is it. I mean, this is how it is. This is what you've got to do. And I promise you, when you come into that place in your life where all of a sudden He who spoke our Son into existence by the breath of His mouth, who turns and speaks life into your heart. When that happens to you, all of a sudden, everything in the world looks different. How you respond to crisis looks different. The hope that you have in the middle of a mess becomes awesome. So, majesty, guys. Majesty is the only thing that we've got that can help us overcome a mess like we're in right now. So go outside tonight. Go outside, look at those stars. When you step out today, because it's nice out here in Austin anyway, when you step outside and you look at a tree and go, how in the world does water get to the top of that tree without a pump? I don't know. When you stop and you look at a flower and go, why did God create a flower so beautiful so that a bee will come and pollinate it? I'm sorry, you just keep going and going and going and going. Everywhere you look, it's hard just to stop and just wonder. It's amazing. So let's just say with David, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. I hope that Jesus is your Redeemer today, because a heart surrendered to Jesus will find peace and be a source of healing in a world where so many people are suffering and afraid. So guys, go outside and look up, and then tomorrow morning, when you get up, before you do anything else, take your Bible and look in and see what God wants to tell you in the middle of this episode that we're living in right now. Pastor Marco is going to come, and he's got some things to share with us, and then we're going to sing some more, take a little bit more time to worship this majestic Creator of our universe.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.